for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, July the 6th, 2006. Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of this service, teaching on Kairos season.
Reproduction of this in part or its entirety for resale is expressly prohibited.
How many of you were here Sunday night? How many of you don't know where you were Sunday night? Now, this is deep. How many of you remember what we talked about Sunday night? How many of you... Now, ladies, you're going to really have to help me tonight. Because I helped you a whole bunch Sunday night. Can you realize that some of these men came up to me and said, "You changed my theology about women." Now, that was real poorly. These men were excited that somebody had the gall to tell them, "You have been hindering your wife to do the ministry that God called her to do." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do you know what you believe in tonight?
Amen.
Say this with me. If you don't praise, you don't get a raise. And
if you don't worship,
it won't rain. Now say it like you mean it. If you don't praise,
you don't get a raise.
And if you don't worship,
it's not
going to
rain.
All right. Open your Bibles with me, if you please, to page 1117. Now, I am from the old school. You'll have to forgive me. I like to preach. Brother Roberts used to say, "Brother Ronnie, you preach from the King James and you prophesy with the King James." I like to preach out of the old King James Version. So if you have a different translation tonight, I want you to buckle up because we're going somewhere. This is, if you need a title for a message and you have your pencil and paper, and I hope you brought some, the Kairos season. Everybody say K A I R O S. Kairos. Kairos has an appointed time. Kairos is very timely. It's the season that we are in. Look at your neighbor and say, "You better wake up. It's the springtime of your life." Something is fixing to get resurrected in you tonight, child of God, and you better wake up. Now, I like noise when I preach. Now, if this is the church of the first frozen, you need to move out. But if we are the church of the redeemed, I want to hear you say, "I'm redeemed.
I'm
the church of the redeemed.
This is my season
to be
all
I can be
and
to rise to a new level." Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I say thank you, Jesus?
You don't say like you mean that.
Now, let me show you where you're coming out of. Deuteronomy chapter 11. See, well, I don't know what I'm coming out of. I certainly don't know what I'm fixing to get into. Well, hold on. Now, all week I want you to go to your neighbor and say, "Did you hear about Kairos?" I didn't mean K-Sera. Kairos. God is doing something in the church. And church is not going to be status quo, 3 points in a benediction, and shake the preacher's hand at the end of the service. And so he can tell you how wonderful you are. And you know he's lying through his teeth, because there's nothing wonderful about flesh. But when we come into another level of understanding that God is bringing us into Kairos, that means he's bringing us to a place called there, a place that you have never been before, and a place of greatness, and a place of potentiality, and a place that you can fulfill your destiny. Everybody's got a destiny, because God's got a plan. Say, God's got a plan. I'm part of that plan. Deuteronomy chapter 11, the book of the law, says, for, in verse 10, for the land. Pinch yourself, said, I'm the land. The land speaks symbolically of the earth. You are a child of God, and you are the planting of the Lord. Say, I'm the planting of the Lord. I'm the earth of God, and my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, Holy Ghost. If you're religious and you can't say Holy Ghost, then say Holy Spirit. You can receive communion after service. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it. Notice that this Kairos season is a place that God's going to take you to possess something that has been possessing you ever since the day that you accepted Jesus. And God is going to call some of you to rise up, because you've been oppressed long enough, and you're going to begin to oppress your enemy. And by doing that, you're going to have to get up into worship. Some of you tonight, I hate to tell you this, you were afraid of what was happening up here because the anointing was getting strong and you were already backing up. Because in the presence of God, we have to be able to deal with our hearts. If you were not here last camp meeting, I suggest that you get the tape about Mishma. It's a place where God takes you, that he can deal with you and the secrets of your heart. And the one thing I know about God, if you don't deal with your issues at home, is coming to a time in the divine order of God in the church, when the real apostles and prophets are rising up, that he's going to deal with them publicly. So you have a choice. I said, you have a choice. You can go out and possess your earth. You can go out now and possess your mind. Your mind belongs to you. Your mind does not belong to the devil. Your mind is not to be cultivated by negativism. I have heard many of you hearing things this week. God is not here tonight to tell you what's wrong with you. He's here to tell you what's right with you. And what's right with you, you've been purchased with a price. And you ought to act like you're redeemed. And you can leave this house tonight singing, Jesus, Jesus lifted me. Oh, he lifted me when nothing else could. He lifted me. And when you can sing that in the presence of God and know who you are. Look at your neighbor. If you're bold enough, then I said, do you know who you are? Do you know who I am? And look at them and say, something is fixing to happen to you tonight, and you're going to find out exactly who you are and where you've been. Come on. Where you've been. I say this with boldness. Where I've been is not where I'm going. And where I am is not where I'm staying. Can I get a witness? I wish I had me an organist here tonight. Hallelujah. I feel like having church. In the midnight hour. I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. Do you feel like you need to get lifted up tonight in the Spirit? Do you feel like the Shekinah glory of the Lord should come down and rest upon you tonight? I'm not talking about having breakfast at 6 o'clock. I'm talking about having a table set before you in the presence of your enemy. And there the Lord will hold the shaft and say, I am for you. I'm not against you. Is there anybody in the house that believes the Lord is real tonight? Yeah. Not you have been possessed by the possessor. He said, you got to possess it. It's a land of hills and valleys. Do I have a few folks from the hills tonight? I can't hear it. Do I have a few folks from the hills tonight? I know what it's like to live in a swamp. You might have to overcome a few alligators and jump over a few stumps. But I want to tell you, I came to the hill. I've been at the elevated place. And where I've been, you can be too. There's another dimension higher than you. And you can go there. But sometimes, the writer says, there's valleys. Come on, there's valleys. But most of us don't like valleys because we don't understand the purpose of a valley. We like the mountaintop experience. Oh, I want to see Him look upon His face. There's a sing forever of His saving grace. Hey! And all of a sudden we're down in the valley. And he said, how you doing, my brother? Well, Lord knows I'm feeling kind of poorly, but I know my Redeemer lives. I looked up yonder, and what did I see? Because what happens is in the valley. Come on. In the valley, there's a river that runs through it. That river comes to you in a time of your refreshing. Not only is there a river, the valley and the mountains, we find out that they're connected. God is just as big in the valley as He is on the mountaintop. But that ain't enough. And drink it water. I said drink water. In your Kairos season, you're going to find out that up to this point in your life, you've been religious. You can sing all the same songs, quote all the same scriptures, have all the same benediction, shake the preacher's hand, but all you come in here in bad shape and you leave here in bad shape because you have never come out of your valley and climbed up your hill and possessed your land. You've never taken possession and it's yours and it's been there all along. And all you want to do is sing your sad songs. Down in the valley, valley so low, hang your head over and hear the wind blow. I'm stuck in the valley so low. That ain't bad preaching for a white boy either.
But here's what we're supposed to be drinking. We're not supposed to be drinking out of a Babylonian makeup, a hand-me-down tradition. We're supposed to be drinking water from the rain of heaven.
We ought to get a little heaven in here tonight. I tell you, some of y'all have been through hell all week. Some of you husbands ought to be standing up and saying, come on, brother, you're helping me out tonight. That woman been giving me hell all week. The only problem is not the woman that's sitting next to you. It's the woman of your soul that needs to have a transformation. Because, see, all religion ever got us was more trouble. We think because we're in the right building and the right setting that we have a right to correct people and we don't have authority to correct them. Are you with me? There's a scripture in the Bible that says that the elders are the one that can exhort and rebuke. If you're trying to correct something that is not your business to correct, let me tell you something. You're standing in front of God and God is going to correct you. He's going to take care of you because that is His business. But God has brought a priest of this house. And whatever the priest of this house said, that's what you do. And if you don't like what they serve,
Go to another restaurant. I'm not preaching like this because I'm here. I preach. Where's my folks? Wave at me. I preach like that in our church. We don't have a daycare center. We don't have a prayer line for the weary and the woe. We're serious about serving God because we're finding out. We've been lied to for 2,000 years. But what church is all about. God is a God of order. Oh, some of you are having a problem saying it. God is a God of order. And He not only has order, He demands it. And until we begin to get in line with the alignment that God has set up in the body, which is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, you may disagree with me, and that's all right. You have that right. But you can't disagree with the Word of God. And if you won't ever measure up to greatness, you have to begin your journey in your valley. And as long as we don't praise God in our valley, if we don't praise God, no rain. If we don't praise,
no rain.
If we don't worship,
no rain.
Said enough. Go to the book of Haggai. It's a new season. We have for the last 3 years embarked on the prophetic chariot that the Lord has taken us in the Spirit. Because we have now arrived to the Ephesians 4:24. We are the new man. We're the born again child of God. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed say so. Haggai is the post-exilic prophet that was birthed out of 70 years of captivity that Jeremiah prophesied. God raised up a man named Haggai.
Amen.
I'm not talking about John Hagee. I'm talking about Haggai. John Hagee has his element. His name means festivity. Celebration. In your season, you need to write this down in your mind and get it in your spirit. God is not going to send you anywhere where you're just tolerated, but where you're celebrated. Oh, you don't want to hear me tonight. I'm going to preach on this side. God doesn't want to send you anywhere where you're tolerated, but you're celebrated. And when I say celebrated, God put a gift in you. And if your gift can't have place to say what God said, then you've been tolerated, you've been manipulated, and you've been controlled, and you've been possessed about religion. How many of you heard preaching on Haggai before? He was a prophet. Obviously, to the church world, he hadn't made big waves. But to God, he'd made a lot of waves. Because, let me give you a little history. His contemporary came 2 years later named Zechariah. He's the same God that gave us this scripture. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he had the same concern that this prophet had. Except Zechariah had a little more recognition. He had more chapters. Haggai had to say everything he had to say in two chapters. Zechariah talked about the candlestick and he talked about the lampstick and he talked about all these different things. But Haggai is prophesying to a nation, and here's what God says to him. And if you don't think God can use you, child of God, when you're in captivity, he said to him, in captivity, in Babylonian captivity, go back and restore temple worship. He wasn't talking about a physical building. He was talking about a spiritual building. So, everybody say, so. If I'm going to ever move up to the level of greatness and enjoy my Kairos season, the first opposition is the opposition of indifference. How is it I don't believe somehow tonight that all of you are agreeing with me right now? How is it if I walk down these aisles and I begin to discern what's happening in your life, you're going to start getting shaky because the man of God is walking by you and you think I'm just made out of flesh? You better be glad I don't have a headphone tonight. I'm going to walk right up to you. What's going to happen to us?
When a man and woman of God going to walk up to you and say, you've been shacking up, you've been fooling around, God knows you've been messing around with your next door neighbor, you better hush up and get straight. Oh, God wouldn't do that. If you don't deal with it in private, you'll deal with it in public. Oh, he wouldn't do that, Brother Clement. Well, we need to apologize. Come on. To Ananias and Sapphira when they stood before Peter and they dropped dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. You talk about a reformation in the church. I tell you, Peter didn't have to be politically correct. He said, why hast thou lied to the Holy Ghost? He's Shalabobakaya. Boom. I'll fly away, oh glory. You're dead. You're dead. And see, this is what they're going to do with your eulogy, my brother. Because eulogies is about something that you're dead. And your life is hid in Christ. You are the best kept secret in Hot Spring. Why are you hiding it?
You believe the scripture said God raised some of us up for such a time as this?
Yes.
You're looking at it. I'm thirsty. All right. Let's get with this. We only have a couple of more hours. This is the last night. Brother Glenn always saves the best for last. Y'all going to get your cake and you get to eat it.
Are you going to get a raise tonight? What are you going to do? You got to praise. Are you going to get some rain tonight? What you going to do? Worship. I praise God when He's killing me. I worship Him when He's having a little rain and the heavens above me are not stayed with dew. I'm being wet for a reason.
Thank you, Doc. I'm glad you're praying for me over there. Honey, give me something to wipe my forehead with you. I forgot my hanky.
So, God was doing something. Come on with me. God was doing something in a man. Help me, Brother Humboldt. And what He was doing in a man, He was taking this man, a one new man, a many-membered body, and He implanted and impregnated him so He could go to the people of Jerusalem and the people of Israel and begin to impart to them what He had heard from God in the secret. The Bible said God will do nothing lest He first reveals to His prophets, His servants, His secrets.
Now, we won't get time to go through every verse tonight, but let's start at the beginning to one. In the second year of Darius the king, and I want you to notice there's a mood change from chapter 1 to chapter 2. Because he begins chapter 1, he says, in the second year, number 2, the number of witnesses of Darius the king, in the sixth month. And you go to chapter 2, and he has a little different introduction. He says, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai. So there's a progression from the house of the first glory to the second house. And see, in Old Testament writing, God gave them a wineskin. Everybody say wineskin. And say, why do I feel I'm fixing to get skinned? In the wineskin, the product and the revelation for that day was sufficient. All right? In the New Testament writings, and I don't believe that the Bible is divided, I believe it's one book. But in the New Testament writing, it talks about the wineskin and the old skin, and he said that both of them should be preserved. What we were introduced to in the Old Testament was the king and priestly ministry. In the New Testament writing, God introduces to us the apostle prophet. But all the church has ever heard from is the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And they believe that that is the divine order of God. But I beg to differ with you. Ephesians 2:20 said there is no other foundation laid but that which was laid by Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
In the first day of the month came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus, listen to me, in the Old Testament, when a man and woman of God gave the word of the Lord, they stood at attention. They go, hey, little whippersnapper, what's he him saying? Thus heal the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We look at you and we think maybe you got slain in the spirit, but you just got zapped. Because they reverenced the word of the Lord. And what I want to say to you tonight, and I may not get to everything I want to say, we have lost the reverence of the presence of a holy God that will not be denied. Because we have traded tradition for true worship. I see churches by churches when I'm traveling. They hire the professionals. T. John is playing every Friday night with Led Zeppelin. All of a sudden, they think T. John ought to be hired on Sunday morning, and they bring him in the sanctuary and they give him his guitar and he plays the same lyrics that he played while he was worshiping another deity and another God, and thinking they're going to make God a God of reverence when they use the devil's machine to do it. Our sister fornicator. Been fornicating with the man of God on Saturday night. On Sunday morning, he wears his three-piece suit. He's all tied up. He gets up in the podium. He doesn't have more of an anointing than a donkey. And he can't preach the word of God because he hasn't been in the holy place where God is. It's a new season. It's a new day. Hey, I just want a free Pepsi. Mindset's changing. You have to stay focused on what God's doing. Most of us don't have a big problem with the devil. We have a problem with what's between our ears. From earlobe to earlobe. It's called the carnal mind. And the carnal mind has become the enemy of God. The carnal mind, he's the substitute for the real anointing. And they stomp and they beat and they shout and they hoop. Yeah. I hoop with the best of you, but I want to be like David. I don't care how much filthy garments I've got to take off. I want to be able to hoot. I want to get in my war den and go shoo, ha, hoo, hoo. And Saul's daughter, come on. Saul's daughter says, well, look at that religious fanatic. He took all of his clothes off. That's because old Otter told you you couldn't find out what the real priesthood was about. Because if you really began to move in your season and began to pick up this mantle of the Zadok priesthood, you just might uncover somebody's barrenness. You just might tell somebody in the middle of your summer. You just might walk by them and your shadow might bring conviction. They might bring conviction upon. You just might walk by them and have to give them a right now word. I wish Brother Glenn let me come here for a week if y'all could stand me. I don't have all the answers, folks. And I don't know it all. But this one thing I do know. When I worship him and he tells me, I want you to take those filthy rags off you. You know those lies you've been keeping from me? You know those little secret compartments in your life? When you worship me and I put my finger on them, I want them. Yes. Amen. Yes. I want your heart clean. Yes. That's right. Yes. Hallelujah. Neglect is a horrible thing. Yes. And I cannot apologize to the Lord for where the church is. We have used excuses upon excuses of why we can't get out of the holy place. And we think that the holy place is a Pentecostal move.
We think denomination was birthed at the holy place. I want to tell you, there was a pouring of new wine in the holy place. And there was smoke coming out of the altar, coming out of your innermost belly to cover you from the presence of God to get in the Holy of Holies.
Can you imagine next Sunday when we get together and we start saying, neglect, 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 everything is spinning, neglect, neglect. We do that. How is that, preacher? It's a prophetic sound. And an indifference. It's the indifference that you face that helps you to get to the other place. You think you have a problem? Haggai had 50,000 people that were standing him. And he had a vision. And he was focused. And he stood in the midst of a people of indifference and said, thus saith the Lord. We go home crying, they resisted, they rejected me. Here's what he said, verse 2. Boy, we're traveling tonight. We're already up in verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you, pause, individually, first, what are you doing to help enhance the kingdom of God? I'm resisting the preacher. I'm disagreeing with leadership. They won't let me speak because I'm a woman. We settled that Sunday night. How many apostles we have in here tonight? Now, we know you're not all called to apostles, but how many of you know, ladies, you can move in apostolic authority? Deborah did. And God brought her full circle, and He'll bring you full circle. Let me ask you a question tonight. What conviction is upon you? Have you started something that the Lord ordained and yet you didn't finish? And you decided because you got between a rock and a hard place, it's time to pull the stakes. I want to encourage you, the word of the Lord for you tonight, He's going to bring you full circle. And you, man or woman of God, you're going to have to kill the cessors of your life, the generals and the strongholds in your life. And you're going to have to drive a peg through their temple and kill them dead. Had David obeyed Micah and not danced before the Lord, we would have never been introduced to the Davidic anointing. We couldn't have come into the sanctuary of God and go, shum, ta, whoom, shum, and kill the enemies. Do you know that one of the most dangerous weapons is praise? The enemy hates praise. And the most deadly of blows is when you worship Him. And He said to Saul, when you go into their camps, don't leave one enemy standing. He did not say to him, because remember he was elected by the people. He did not say to them, keep the best for last. When we are engaged in our Keroth season, and God brings us to a place called there, you can find that in 1 Kings 17, where Elijah was at the brook Cherith. And God had an unclean bird, a raven, an unclean bird, bring him meat. Now, you don't have to believe this. I asked the Holy Ghost, I said, where did that raven, Brother Humble, where did that raven get that piece of meat? From the king's table. And you could say, and I'm on the king's highway. Hey, hey! Everybody else is starving. Everybody else has a famine going on. There's a drought in the land. If you, having drought in your life, cause you're not praising and you certainly are not worshiping God.
That's right. Amen.
But you better be careful. You don't want to put some tent pegs there in that little brook because it dried up. You see, it's through opposition the Lord reveals His favor. Not when everything's going well. Let me blow some of your theology. The Lord is not coming back to America in a time of hardship and poverty. He's coming back in the greatest manifest presence of the greatest financial success that this country has ever known. And some of you have heard it said that the Lord is coming back for church without spots or blemish. Wrong. The Bible said the Lord will present Himself a church without spot or blemish. Go back and read it. When the Lord has perfected what concerns Him in you, then He will present you to His Father. Not when the church thinks they have their doctrine all together. And when we quit judging one another, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4, judgment begins in our house. So, back to my point. Individually first, then corporately. There are different ethnic groups, people of different faiths here. But we have a common denominator. His name is Jesus. And we have collectively come together under one house. And I would tell you there's many of us here with different opinions and different doctrines. And just a handful of you now are still in indifference. You have accepted what I've told you so far. So the prophet has to come out of captivity and he has to urge them to build. Now is the time. Not yesterday. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Now is the time. Kingdom. And he's raising many sons and daughters that are learning the difference between the Logos word and a Rhema. Thank God for the written word. But thank God when it comes from heaven and it rains. When Moses brought the children to the wilderness, they were fighting over who had more bread than the other one. And it was light bread and flesh. And Jesus said in the gospel, the bread that Moses gave you was not the bread of heaven, but I bring you the true bread. To build a house of worship for God, we're going to have to lose all of our legalism. All of our preconceived ideas of how we ought to build the church. And let the Lord direct us and build it. How much of this y'all want to hear? Listen to this thought. When God crosses our temple affairs and we encounter trouble and disappointments, we're generally looking within ourselves. And if we do, we will discover that His work is not being done while His house is left unbuilt. I want you to pinch yourself and look at your neighbor and say, I am the house of God, whether you believe it or not. And you don't need a steeple to prove it. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Country still stands for in God we trust. I'm proud to be an American. But most of all, I'm proud to be a Christian. In our Kairos season, we're going to have to get the wisdom of God to be able to cross over denominational barriers. And that means, my friends, we're going to have to put away our indifferences. If you look back at the scriptures, the word came, first of all, to the governor, Zerubbabel. Part of his name means confusion. And to the priest that was presiding over the house. And the first thing I discovered that God wants, He wants to bring civil authority and spiritual authority together. Some may say, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me explain. Romans 13, every principle in that chapter talks about civil authority. And this might blow some of your theology. Civil authority was ordained by God. So He sends little Haggai, who doesn't have a big name, and he doesn't have a big following. As a matter of fact, nobody's following him. He thought he had a 50,000 member church. But all of a sudden, excuse me if I preach for a little, he found himself like Gideon. And all of a sudden, he felt the coward wanted to rise up inside of him. And God comes in sundry time. He said, Gideon, rise up, O man of God. Thou art very courageous. And Gideon begins to prophesy. And he begins to talk to the Lord. And he begins to be bold and courageous. But all of a sudden, he loses the greatest numbers of members. From about 30,000 down to... There goes the tithes. There goes the anointing. There goes the building fund. And you get behind the podium and standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah. Standing in the need of prayer. Have you ever preached in empty chairs? Y'all better not fall for that. I'm setting you up. Well, what do you think about this season so far? I could hang with that, huh? It might be all right. Well, let's move along. Then he brings them to a place where he urges them to reevaluate their commitments. Love, L-O-V-E, equals time, T-I-M-E. How much time do we take from our busy schedules other than on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night? Come to worship God collectively together. If God walked in your house on Monday morning, you'd say, excuse me, do I know you? Oh, you think that's strange? If you saw angels walking in your house, you'd think it's a spook. There's angels around us all the time. He said, oh, they're big. They look just like you. I've never seen one show up on a horse. Can feel their presence. And I've had a few experiences where I've seen them. That alone, I want to make you change your mind. Now, they're a representative of the Lord. Now, can you imagine when the real thing shows up? God gets in the mood. We're praising Him. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And they'll be singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Hear God sitting over here. They shall obtain. Hey, Cheryl. Gladness and joy. Hey, friends. And mourning and sorrow shall flee away. And all of a sudden you get to, therefore, the Lord said, yes, that's it. Therefore, the redeemer of the Lord shall return. Oops, sorry about that. It's like he's got to kind of drum us up. We don't need to come to get drummed up. We need to come to service pumped up. And if we're pumped up, then we can't go up. Jesus is sitting on the right side of the Father. And the Father said, what do you think? That 20 songs, they're saying, I don't want to know it yet. But Jesus, be of good courage, son. They're going to come out with a billing program in just a few minutes. And they're going to say, I feel the Lord. High and lifted up. I hear the Lord said, I got 20 people can give 1,000. 10 people can give 250. Can I get a witness in the house? I feel the Spirit of the Lord is moving in here. I told you I was a realist. I hate religion. And I hate church people. Because they're churchy. But I love the family of God. So he said, boys, here's what we're going to do. In this campaign, we're going to reevaluate our commitments. Next Sunday, when you come to service, I want you to bring your reevaluated commitment and maybe make it public before the Lord. Can I get a witness? Is everybody all right with that? You all agree, right? Because now it's time to build His house. And it's not made with hands. It's not temporal. It's spiritual. We've been looking at the wrong thing for 2,000 years. Look at your neighbor and say, there's nothing wrong with me. Oh, but here comes a situation. Y'all know what a situation is? Shirley has been hanging with Bill. And they've been caught together. And they have a situation. Because you see, the church doesn't call sin sin anymore. It's a situation. The woman at the well. God's fixing to embark on her Kairos season. She's fixing to get some approval. And she's fixing to get an appointed time designed by God. Jesus leaves his schedule. And he was redirected by the Holy Ghost to go there and have a little conversation with a woman who was in Typology, the church. And Jesus said to her, I want something to drink. Her purpose was this. Lord, you don't even have a bucket. This is not the bucket of the first church on the corner. Jesus said, I come to tell you, you've been to fivefold ministry already. Been to five different husbands. But now, he didn't say you're in a situation. He said you are shacking up with Billy. I hope your name ain't Billy, and I hope your name's not Shirley. Don't even look over here. And the Lord says, Sister Shirley, this is goodness and mercy talking to you. And she goes, did you see Billy? And all of a sudden, she heard a sound. Her season had come. Jesus didn't make fun of her. She leaves him saying, she goes to the elders and says, you need to come see a man who has told me everything about myself. I perceive he must be a prophet. Because all them other ding-a-ling pastors was telling me I could go ahead and live in my situation. All I want to. God loved me and he understood. Because they're more concerned about the tithe and the offering. Just might mess up this building program if it's going to get into. And no way I'm going to finish all this tonight, but we're going to get through some of it. The problem with a situation, y'all ready? My love affair with myself is greater than my love affair with the Lord. I love me more than I love thee. And so I'm going to take my interests and my energy and build my kingdom. I'm going to decorate it with gold and chandelier and crystals and all these wonderful ornaments. And then I'm going to invite God. You know the old brush rubber preachers? They had something we didn't have. They didn't have gold and chandeliers. They had mosquitoes and ticks and hay and smelly hay and sweat and no air conditioning. And most of them didn't even have a microphone. Forget tape players and DVDs. And they came with the word of the Lord. And when God was through, the tent moved. Our problem in America, we have become so religiously minded. Come on. So organized minded that if God moves, we are going to stay plucked up because we believe this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. God told me to build a house. Now God left. What are we going to do? Let me make it a little simpler. For the most part, in the 21st century, in the Church of America, the presence of the Lord has departed in some of our gathering in our places where we gather. Have you ever wondered why? It's not because of your color or your doctrine. It's not because you don't love him. It's because he's not first. The book of Acts. They asked Peter, how much is it going to cost me for the Holy Ghost? We have made the house of God into a house of thieves and merchants. And the glory of the Lord has departed. What are we going to do? We've got to get on our knees. We need to seek His face. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the bishop's fault. It's not the board of deacons. It's us, individually. God is looking for people who's going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Not in religion and organization. Some of the most disorganized bunch of people are the most organized in the Holy Ghost that I've ever seen. So it's time to reevaluate, isn't it? Isn't it? So we need to go up to the mountain. We need some elevation in our belief. Let me give you another thought, and we'll carry this along for ways, and then we're going to end. In our Kairos season, we come to a time in our lives where we are either reflecting the image of Jesus, or we're reflecting another image. The Corinthians says, when we look into the mirror of the Word, when you look into the mirror of God's Word, you're not supposed to see you. You're supposed to see Jesus in you. An image has something to do with character. The world looks at us and they're wondering whether we're true or not. You can ask anybody in Hot Springs, Arkansas, at any particular time to tell you, where is the church? And they will point to a structure on a corner somewhere with a steeple on it. Now he comes to them with two considers. He said, now it's time for us to consider our ways. He tells them, you've sown much. How many of you have sown much? How many of you have given a lot of money to the gospel? Come on, raise your hand. Only to find that the bags were filled with holes. And he said, you drink, but you're not filled. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of having church and status quo church and 3 points of benediction and a song. I think it's time that we put our sermon and sermonettes aside until we have gotten in the presence of God. I've come to the place in my life, if there's no anointing, I'm not preaching. Because I don't have anything to say. And I can't force God to move. It's a free will offering. Zechariah comes on the scene and he talks about the prophecies and the burdens of the Lord. And he talks about civil authority. And he talks about tabernacles. And he talks about the glory of David's house and the Davidic anointing and the praise and the dance and the temple that David did. Here's what God wants. He wants you and I to reflect what we see. When we're in the presence of God, what are we seeing? Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. How do we know that? He told us. What are we doing with what we see? We go to Walmart. Everybody knows that family store, right? We go to Walmart. You got someone across the counter contemplating suicide. And all of a sudden, God brings you in the spirit. And He shows you this little woman holding a pistol to her temple. And you look in her and says, be blessed, be warm, be filled. And you go about your merry way. No, what God wants you to do is the reflection of what you've seen in the Spirit says, I see something. I know that the devil has tempted you. I know you're contemplating suicide. But in the name of Jesus. Well, preacher, I might get locked up. You just might. But you won't be alone. Because for the most part, the church world is in prison already. Because we're allowing fear. Complacency and indifference to keep us from being all we can be in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. I could take you to the prophet Joel, tell you about the prophetic wine that's falling off of the mountains, that's bringing you into a greater understanding of who you are in Christ. God has possessed us by His blood. He has redeemed us. And we have a mandate from God to go out and possess and redeem other people just like you. So we can prepare a kingdom for Him to return and to come and to sit on the altars of our hearts and rule as King and Priest of our lives. I don't want to choke you tonight. There's a whole lot more. God has brought you in the year 2006. And two things He's told you on our behalf about the spirit of Jael and about the Kairos season. It's time for us to rise with the glory of God and to begin to let God build us as the holy priesthood that He's designed us to be. And it's time for us to quit looking at what we're seeing and to remember what we saw.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Everybody just lift your hands to the Lord. We've all come here tonight with special needs. Many of us have had a long week. It's been a long week. It's been a trying week. It's been a victorious week, an overcoming week. A lot of us have received some freedom and some deliverance and some healing in our lives. When you leave this place tonight, or you leave this camp tomorrow morning, whatever the Lord revealed to you is what He wants you to do. He's not asking you to take the whole world by itself, but He's asking you to take it one stone, one step at a time. Ladies, I encourage you in my closing comments tonight. It's time for you to step up to the plate. Men, it's time for you to quit sitting down and waiting for your wife to do everything and to rise up as true sons and daughters of the living God. This is the hour of our Kairos season, and we can be all that we can be. And the two principles you need to remember tonight, if you praise, you get a raise. If you worship, the rain from heaven will come. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Father, we thank You tonight for Your sovereignty, Your mighty hand. God, those of you that are receiving healing tonight for their bodies, we just ask You to extend Thy mighty hand, Thy sovereignty right now upon these bodies from the top of their heads and the sole of their feet. God, those that are here at the sound of My voice that need a miracle in their lives, no matter what that miracle may be, I thank You, Father, that You have already revealed it to them, that they have peace in their spirit, they have understanding in their mind that You're going to do this, and the time belongs to You, and Father, that everything will work according to Your divine will, and the devil cannot stop it. So, Father, we thank You for the Rhema word tonight. We thank You for the Logos word that we received in our hearts. And Lord, as we go about our separate ways tonight, I pray that the peace of God and the love of Jesus will comfort your hearts and your souls and your bodies. And may your sleep be sweet. And may the angels of God be encamped around you to protect you and to keep you. Until we meet again, we bless you in the name of Jesus. We bless you in the name of Hoshea HaMessiah, the Messiah of the Lord Christ God. And we thank You for everything that You've done for us. We thank You, Lord, that we are the Mishpoha, the family of God. And we give You praise. And we give You glory. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.